Hello and welcome to Up the Smut. I am Kate. I go by Romantically Inclined on the internet. And joining me is my co-host.
I'm Michaela, but I go as Love Michaela Eve on all corners of the internet and in your dad's phone.
Oh, God. Brilliant. I just want like you to come up with some different bullshit thing every time we do a podcast episode.
Done.
Please.
And do.
Great. Today for follower request week, we kind of like asked everybody on Instagram, our amazing followers, what they wanted to hear from us. And we got a couple requests and on the Patreon for book slump, book hangover themed podcast episode, which is hilarious because I have never been in a worse book slump in my entire fucking life. I'm about to give you tips on how to get out of it. And maybe I'll get out of it one day.
Maybe she'll follow some of her own.
I've been trying. So far, no go. But first, we wanted to define what book slump and book hangover mean to us, because they're kind of the same thing, but in my eyes, they're also not at all the same thing. And I don't know if everyone has that opinion or if it's just me and my bullshit like coming in to create definitions for things. I don't know. So, let's see. Michaela, what would you define as a book hangover?
Okay, so I define a book hangover is when I have read a book, I've loved a book, I am able to read other books, but mentally I am still with the amazing book. Like, it's lingering. I cannot shake it off. I'm still thinking of these characters. I want to be in the world again. It has massive FOMO. So that's my definition of a hangover. Because now a hangover for me is like a week-long event that requires life support if I drink too much. So that's how I define a book hangover.
No, yeah. I now that wouldn't have been my definition, but now that you said it, that's totally true. Mine was going to be something about how like the book is so good that no other book kind of lives up to it. But the truth of the matter is it's not the books that follow its fault.
No.
If that makes sense. It is, they could be great books, but they had just the poor timing of coming in after a stellar book.
Exactly.
If a different time and place, maybe they would be perfect. Mm. But unfortunately for them, they chose the wrong fucking day of the week to pop into my life.
See, I do realize as well, like, if I kind of feel like I haven't given a book a fair go, I will reread that book. If it's a book that's sort of after a book hangover and I'm like, let's revisit, let's have a little flick through, a little skim or a complete reread. So there definitely is the awareness of knowing that the book could be good. And it's just, it's a you problem, not the book's problem.
Yeah, that's fair. That poor book, like, I'm so sorry. It's just like you're coming after some just like absolute monster fucking, usually, if we're being honest.
It's usually some monster.
Like, you have two humans and I am just not feeling it at the
we're
moment.
On the hunt for
I
the
need
weird
a spider
dick.
I need like a spider dick.
Yeah, you guys are in college dick. Oh, like, you know,
yeah,
it's a bummer.
Is one of you a college monster,
please?
And then for me, a book slump is it really has nothing for me to do with having read something really good. It's just more than two books in a row have not hit the mark for me. Yep. And it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point, because I'm like, fuck, like, I just read two or three bad books in a row. And then I'm just constantly grabbing for the next book. Like, please be good. Please be good. And my hopes are so high. My expectations are so high that every book just seems to like fall way, way, way below them. And that is where I am right now. I haven't finished a book in a week.
You could say that you've been bowled over by books.
Yeah, I told Michaela I haven't finished a book since the ogre smut episode last week, and I fully blame the ogres.
Yeah, if it was an orcs episode, we wouldn't be in this. You know, you would be on some feral rampage of orcs, and there would be weird dicks and huge dicks and buckets of cum. But it was the ogres, and here you are.
I'll
shame.
I'll never be whole. I'll never be whole again. My life is ruined. Because of ogres. Maybe I should just watch Shrek. Just lean into the ogre thing. There's like four or five Shrek movies.
There's four, and I'll tell you how I know that, because I was psychologically tortured by my daughter while pregnant with my son. We had them on DVD, and we would just watch them in a loop, an actual loop of Shrek movies. And then my son did the same thing to me with Toy Story. So I can tell you every Toy Story line. Quite often I will scream at my children a very niche line from the first movie, and it will be, "Would you like some tea, Mrs. Nesbitt?" And if you text that to my father, he will go on about how much he loves Toy Story and how he was Buzz Lightyear and the girl child was Woody.
My husband and I just quote, and we've never even seen the full movie. I think it's in like the fourth Toy Story with the fork, like spork thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, just as it's basically because it's a TikTok meme, but then I showed him the actual clip and it's like, just as I thought, trash.
Trash. Just as I thought, trash. Fucking Forky. Bitch, don't get me started on Forky. My son, this is a tangent time, and I've got more tangents for you guys, so stay tuned. Ever since we've had Disney Plus, he has had the Forky icon as his Disney Plus thing. If there is anyone more Forky in the world, it is my son. He's Forky, I believe it. Always except physical. But he does kind of look like Forky because he's so skinny. Fuck. Woo!
Michaela's getting a little bit. It's 101 degrees in Australia, American freedom units, not Australian units, because if that was Australian units, she would be dead.
38 degrees here. No fan, no air conditioning, so we get the beautiful sound quality of my shrill, harpy voice for you guys. From my throat to your earlobes. That's what she said.
Ew.
I'm losing it in the heat.
And we so appreciate her sweating her ass off for the quality of this podcast. We really appreciate it.
How much I love you guys. Yeah. Is this one of the worst slumps you've been in for a while?
Yeah, it fucking is. And I'm reading three books right now trying to get out of it. And I'm not. None of my tricks are working. I don't even know. The longer I go, the more I'm just like, maybe I need to read a non-romance book. Which is like,
wow, let's not do anything rash, okay? Let's not say like things that we can't take back,
book.
But that are now like immortalized on the internet, because it's like people are going to call you out. They're going to be like, what's the non-romance book you read? And you'll say Colleen Hoover.
Boom. I was going to say I could read Becoming by Michelle Obama. I got it in a book exchange three Christmases ago, pre-COVID, it's just sitting on my shelf mocking me. I was like, I'm going to be the person who reads this. And I am not that person yet. Maybe one day.
Maybe she does talk about fucking in it. Who knows?
I'm pretty sure she talks about her and Brock. So maybe.
Well, fingers crossed. Like, she gives us some of the goods for that. No, that's a bummer.
Yeah. I'm bummed.
Maybe Michelle is too.
No, you're doing too much today. I feel like you can hear in my voice how sad I am that the books are not hitting the mark for me.
Do you want me to tell you about some of the times that I've had book slumps? So Kate and I, like, what we usually do is we'll do like a little debrief. We'll sort of have like a discussion. We call it a meeting. But, like, we're going to have a meeting during the week and we'll talk about what we're going to do. So Kate tells me, she's like, just think of a couple of books. And then what do I do last night in this absolute mania? I go back to 2016 and I take all of these notes and I'm like, I'm going to tell you guys a story about all of my book slumps to make you feel better about your lives. So should I take you back to 2016? Would you like to come with me, Kate?
Please do. What was happening in that year? Let's see. I had graduated grad school. I was 3 years out of grad school. I got married in 2016. Aww. I just want to like put it into a little bit of a perspective here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I was a newlywed and go. I'm in the setting.
Okay, you're in the setting. So I had really bad postnatal depression.
Oh, wow.
and I went back home. I love how that's funny to me. Always reach out and talk to someone if you can. It's not like they'll listen to you anyway. Anyway, so I had gone back on my medication. And I don't know what it did. Like, it just gave me erectile dysfunction of the reading. Like, I had reader's block. So, allegedly, the first book I read in 2016 was Fairest by Marissa Meyer. So obviously, like, I was a bit of a YA fan back then. That was on...
Yeah, were you 14 in 2016?
I fucking wish. I wish.
Fairest by Marissa. I haven't heard that name in so long, Marissa Meyer. I haven't heard that name. She was so popular. When I worked in the bookstore in 2016, every cover is burned into my brain.
Yeah. So Fairest, you can imagine that. And that's a small ass book. Like, that's a bridging novella. So I read that in January. And then apparently I read the second book in the Caster Chronicles in February. Like, all of these just like typical YA 2016 books. And then I didn't finish a book until April. February to April, like three. I don't know what I was doing in that time. Like, you couldn't even, like, I was just high on Prozac, and that is good for me. But then I actually read Paper Princess by Erin Watt in 3 hours, not realizing that none of the other books were out. So I gobbled the fuck out of that book. If you haven't read that book, mm-hmm. It is like Gossip Girl. It's one of those, you know, it is the pinnacle of the books that you sort of compare everything else to. It's like a Cinderella retelling. It's this poor girl whose mother's died and she's taken to live with these 5 rich boys and they're assholes, and she like falls in love with one. It's one of the worst best books I've ever read in my life. So that was amazing.
Wait, that sounds amazing though. That sounds like every story I wrote as a teenager.
I think that it could actually, like, it could probably unblock something in you. It could be like reading a prune. You know what I mean?
Okay, I get it. I was like, how do you read a prune? Not finishing a book is destroying my sense of humor.
Yeah, you're not doing well. It's okay. It's okay. I'm here. Then, I'm just hitting everything. Sorry, guys. This is the first year that I discovered Air Awakens by Elise Kova. And I ride hard for that series. It's YA, but it's fantasy. But all of the books are under like 300 pages. And the slow burn, angsty fucking romance of this... Mwah, all available on KU. Anyway, so I read those books and I was like, yeah, cool. Not realizing that the 5th book was not out. So in the space of 2 days, according to my calculations here, I read all 4 books again in anticipation of the 5th book because I had to keep the momentum going. And then by the end of the year, after not having, like, having read 2 books till April, I read 115 books that year, which was good.
Jesus.
Yes. Yes. So I just lost my mind. Like, I don't know what I was doing with myself. Like, I think I broke like 4 Kobos and like finally bought a Kindle. You know what I mean? Like, it was just sort of, I was just reading like KU on my fucking phone or whatever. I'm thinking I was real cool. Then 2016, we roll around. We're like, okay, ready. We're good. I was super into YA according to this. I binge read the Arcana Chronicles by Cressley Cole, like all of the books that were available. And then I had to reread Air Awakens again because they weren't all out and they're still not all out. And then I got into The Foxhole Court by Nora Sakovic, which also becomes one of my, like, reready things. I was also in my sports romance era, apparently. Mm. I read a lot of Elle Kennedy. Yeah. So embarrassing. Anyway, that was
done that.
Okay. Then we get to 2017. So what are you doing in 2017, Kate?
I got a job as a nanny, I think.
So you're nannying.
Yeah. So you're nannying. Still married.
Still married.
I'm still married.
Congratulations. Thank you. Still married now in 2023.
Yeah, we're on a roll.
Mm, we're doing good.
Yeah.
So 2017 saw me still in my YA era. I'm obviously reading romance in this, but these are just like the ones that jump out. And then for some fucking reason, I was like, I've got to read The Raven Cycle. Like, I've got to read all of the Raven Boy books by Maggie Stiefvater. Mm. I had it in my head. I was like, yeah, because everyone else was reading them. See, I was like, obviously... being swept away in the crowd. And I could not get past the first chapter of the first book, but I persisted. I read all of those books and thought that those people were the stupidest fucking idiots I've ever met. I was like, if this was John Green writing some sort of wannabe esoteric essay, self-insertion, like wanting to have friends that are 4 boys. Anyway, so I thought the best character in that book was the mother, who was like, well, you guys are fucking stupid, but you're teenagers, so you're going to be fucking stupid. That was that. I think that I would have liked it if I was like 14. Like, maybe I should give it to my daughter. So that was my 2017.
See, you should have her read it and see what her opinion is on the boys. If she thinks that they are smart, then you have something to address with her.
She would love them. Like, that's, I just know. Like, yeah, she's a Damon girl, like from Vampire Diaries. And she loves Styles from Teen Wolf. Like, that's, I don't know. There's no hope for her.
Yeah. I don't know. You're actually in trouble. You're in trouble. She's normal. That's every girl's dream.
Well, look, you know, I mean, I'm a Klaus girl. I was telling the girls that. They're like, who do you like, Damon or Stefan? I was like, Klaus, are you serious? Like, that man would burn the world down for me. I just know that he would love me if he met me. And then in 2019, I only read 13 books for the whole year.
What the fuck?
I was busy. I was doing other things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were you doing in 2019? Tell me more. I want to know everything about you.
I was living in the city,
mm-hmm.
being like a young hot girl. Just kidding. No, I stayed in most nights. I worked 55 hours a week for 3.5 years straight. I didn't go out a lot, read a lot of books, was living with my best friend and her boyfriend and my husband. Dream team, because her boyfriend is my husband's childhood friend. We introduced them. So it was like amazing. We had 3 cats, just hung out a lot. Never left the apartment. It was awesome.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I want to live that life now. I don't want to be in this heat, stuck to this chair.
No, yeah. It's cold here. It's, I think, in the negatives today.
Stop it. You're just showing off at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm wearing a blanket in the house.
Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't go nearly as far back as you did.
Oh, I've still got 2020 to do.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my. Wait. Okay. Well, I have to hear this then, because you're coming into adult romance at some point, correct?
Oh, no. There was adult romance in everything. Like, I was always there.
I don't believe you.
Okay, but no, here's the problem, though. So I have ascertained that all of my issues, so this is where we get to as well. So 2020, I read The Guinevere Deception by Kirsten White. It's the first book in a fucking trilogy. And what do? Read it when it's like release day or whatever. And then I didn't read for 8 days. So what do? Can you guess what I did? I picked Air Awakens back up and I read all of that. So it's a curse breaker. Like, it breaks generational curses. I cannot explain it. Anyway, so then the world did explode after I read Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo. And remember when everyone used to mispronounce her first name and they'd call her Lay?
No.
I
remember. It's spelled Lee.
Like, yeah, exactly. I was like, it's Lee. I'm like, ask your mums, little booktube kiddos. And then apparently I didn't read until April, but I still managed to read like 150 books that year. And then 2021, I actually didn't have any noticeable slumps because I was repressing my emotions. Mm-hmm. So I've realized that all of my problems are actually leading back to when I read anything that isn't romance. Because did you see any romance books being the cause of my problems in that? It was all YA.
Yeah. I think you have uncovered a pattern here that people should be aware of. Mm. And if you are in a book slump, look back. Did you just read a YA book?
Exactly. Did you read a nonfiction? You know that's your problem.
Yeah.
You need to get
it's
some
the nonfiction
dick in
salt.
Exactly. 100%.
Unless, okay, there are nonfictions with dicking in them, though, for sure.
Well, I mean,
but it's never that good.
Well, yeah, we still haven't read the Michelle Obama. We remain hopeful. She's a Capricorn. Yeah. I just know she's a secret little freak bitch. You know what I mean? For legal reasons, this
remember?
Is the joke.
How do you remember what people's... I don't... What? How do you remember what she is?
Yeah. See, I feel like you know how, like, the Terminator, when the Terminator scans you? Like, it can do, like, your height, weight, and stuff. Like, mine is, like, name, thing you did to annoy me, and your star sign. That's, like, my interface.
I need to meet you at least 40 times before I remember your name.
I won't remember your name, but like maybe I'll remember your name. Maybe I'll pretend not to remember your name. One of the mums tried something similar to me last week and I called a bitch out. That's fine.
Like she tried to pretend she didn't know your name?
Well, she tried to say, I said something about my son being in a different class and she was like, oh, was he in my kid's class last year? And I was like, bitch, they were in each other's classes 2 years in a row. I'm like, have you pickled yourself? You've had too much wine to drink. And she's like, oh. She's like, oh, maybe I have. I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. Listen, I'm in such a mood. Like the anger is within me still. I apologize. Yeah. Kate's really tired and she's just like, Jesus Christ, who am I talking to right now?
I haven't been outside in like 3 days. Okay, it's so cold.
Have you got one of those lights?
No. I do have one of those night lights that, like, is supposed to wake you up with light, But I haven't used it since I had a baby 18 months ago because he wakes me up before any alarm ever.
Oh, God. Kids are just the worst.
Yeah. And it's funny because my husband never wakes up. Like, this morning, I actually realized when I woke up to my son, like, cooing in the other room. He's, like, 18 months, but he's, like, ba, 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 da, da, ba, like, just talking to himself. And I had forgotten to turn on the monitor the night before. But I woke up to him just lightly, like, ba, 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 from a different fucking room. Mm-hmm. I will put the monitor next to my husband's face while my son is screaming. And I'll be like, it's your turn. And he'll be like, what's happening? I'm like, how do you? He even sleeps closer to the door than me. I'm like, I'm going to karate chop you in the dick.
You know what?
Don't get up.
I think he's faking.
I don't know. I'll touch him and he'll jolt awake. He'll be like, oh my God. I'm like, okay. But it's funny because my son's like obsessed with him. So I'll go in the morning and he'll be like, dada.
Aww.
And so I just put him down in his little sleep sack and he like shuffles into the bedroom and just screams at the top of his lungs. He's like, da.
Aww.
And like I see my husband like startle awake. It's so fucking cute. Not my husband startling awake. That is vengeance. But or revenge. I don't know what the difference is. It's like the difference between jealousy and envy. I don't know. I'm both.
Yeah, a little from column A, a little from column B.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, we'll go back. Switch back to books away from my child. I was trying to like look through and see if there have been any books that I can like, based on my Goodreads history, note then sent me into a slump. And I was able to grab a couple in like the last like 4 months or so. And one was Nikki the Driver by Kate C. Wells. And I was just so that book came out of nowhere. I didn't even know she was publishing it. And it's like the second in the series after Run Posey Run, which is one of the most deranged books at the time that I'd ever read, where like the guy, it was my first psychopath romance actually, where he like doesn't even love her. He like, some just guy tells him that Posey is cheating on him. And he's like, get the fuck out of my house. Like, you cheating whore. Kicks her out. And then he's part of like the mafia. So then he realizes his mafia, like people are going to go kill her because she knows too much. And he's like trying to track her down, but she's already disappeared.
Ooh.
And then he like clonks her over the head and kidnaps her back and then like won't let her leave. And I was like, what? Like he like literally like, what's going on? He like shoves her in his trunk. I'm like, okay. I was like, wonderful.
Romantic.
Very romantic. And so when Nikki the Driver came out, a surprise book, and it's like just another like deranged situation where like nobody's really a good person. And which trigger warning for this book, I don't want to recommend it because I do want to recommend it, but it does focus very heavily on the heroine's eating disorder. So if you are avoiding things like that, then do not read. You can still read Posey, but don't read Nikki the Driver. It's like the entire plot. But I was like, because I think it surprised me and it came out of nowhere with the publishing, I had like a little whiplash. And so when it ended, I was just like, I didn't have time to prepare for that. So then when I was looking at my history, I was like, okay, then I read a couple bum books like in a row there. Then we had The Lone Wolf's Rejected Mate, which if anyone listens to the Patreon episode, I just gushed about this on the Patreon episode. Also by Kate C. Wells. What the fuck, Kate C. Wells? Stop book slumping me.
Ooh, is she your auntie Jessa Kane? Much to ponder.
Maybe. Jessa Kane is usually my like solution, which we'll get into like our tips and tricks, but Jessa Kane is usually like a solution to a book slump.
Yeah.
It didn't work this time. It has not worked.
Take a shot because of all the times you just said Jessa Kane.
Oh yeah. Fuck. Sorry guys. You are drunk. Shots. But Lone Wolf's Rejected Mate sent me into a slump specifically because it hit so many tropes I love. And it was like age gap. He's older. He's like vicious. And she's like young and innocent. He has to grovel for her back. There's like a danger element. And they're kidnapped together. And I was like, fuck me. This is so good. And then when it ended, I just like, I needed to take some time for myself. I think. And it was like Shifters too, which I love. But I haven't read, I like never really read Shifter romances anymore. I used to be addicted to them. And now it's kind of like, why shift into a human when you could just stay a scorpion monster, right?
Absolutely. Like, why do the tentacles have to go away? Mm-hmm. They can always be out to play.
That's my personal point of view on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then sometimes the book is so sweet that I find it hard to match that chemistry. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. It's just, so the last book that most recently sent me into a slump besides The Ogres was The Sunny Side by Lily Morton. It's an it's part of her new model agency series. Oh. And it has a hero who everyone thinks is an idiot. It turns out he just has some learning disabilities that he's been hiding under a haze of weed smoke since he was like 13 years old. He finally stops smoking and people start to see the real him a little bit. And he's just like the sweetest, kindest, most emotionally intelligent person. Aww. And he catches the eye of like the agency owner and who's very protective of him. And I'm like reading it. It was just like, Lily's writing is just so good. It's just so good. Oh, actually, one more. Another Lily. I read Lore by Lily Maine, which just came out. I think we may have talked about it last week. And that book sent me... I was having, like, a book hangover while I was reading it. Mm. And a book slump while I was reading it. Because I was so fucking nervous the whole time I was reading it. It took me 6 days to finish. I don't remember the last time it took me that long to read a book. And it wasn't because it was bad. It was wonderful. It was just like emotionally torturing.
Yep.
To me. To my soul.
You specifically. Lily Maine got up and said, you know what? Fuck romantically inclined.
Yeah, she's like fucking targeted me. It was just like, it takes place in the past of her monstrous series, like 20 years in the past, or 40 years in the past, actually. And it was just so difficult for me to like know that 20 years from the time of the book, there was going to be like a whole ripping in the space-time continuum that allowed a shit ton of monsters through to decimate the human population. And I just kept thinking about all the people who were going to die.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you just said whole ripping, my mind literally went to win. And I was like, whole ripping? Like he has a cock pocket?
Mm-hmm.
It was a different hole that I thought was being ripped.
No, this was just in the space-time continuum, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
That's good, yeah.
They both have relatively normal cocks.
Mm.
The monster one has like a little bit of something going on, but it's not the most monstrous dick she's ever written.
No.
I believe that is Seraph, book Ooh. 6. Very monstrous. That should be an episode where we just, the weirdest dicks. We only read books where they have almost, it looks nothing like a human dick is what we should go for.
We'd have to find a contemporary with a guy who has an 11-inch dick. Because you know how it's always like, the hockey player had the biggest dick I've ever seen. And it's
the 18-year-old hockey player.
Yeah.
Who's also with a nerd who also has a huge dick. I actually read that book. That's a real book.
If he has a huge dick, he doesn't know what to do with it. I'm telling you now.
Yeah.
There's like, you know that like that scale of like, if you are somewhat attractive, you can just get away with anything. But then if you're rich, you need other, like, it doesn't matter how rich you are. You know what I mean? If you fall sort of in the middle, you shit out of luck. You've got to be good at something. If you're not rich or you're not good looking, this is the men thing. For women, there's many other variables.
Mm. That's it. I would love to read like one where we have more of diversity in the dicks we read.
Mm.
Like I've started to read more like average ones, not on purpose. I'm not like targeting specific dick sizes because that's not in the blurb of the book. I don't know until I pick up a book for the most part, unless it's a monster. But I would love to read more of a sliding scale of dicks. Like start like, you know, on one end and make our way all the way to the other end and just kind of talk about how in the end it doesn't really matter how big your dick is. It is all in how you can use those hands.
Exactly.
And those fingers.
And those tentacles.
And those toys.
And those horns. And those.
Oh, yeah. And that weird tongue. And your tail. Your prehensile tail.
Well, yeah, I'm just
so in the end, you don't even need a dick. You just need a tail.
And some enthusiasm and patience and a willing partner.
Yeah. And willing to learn.
Yeah.
You know?
Enthusiasm.
There we go. Enthusiasm is really all we need. We can work with enthusiasm, right? I cannot work with confidence.
No.
No, you can't go backwards.
No.
No.
I'll get you there.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Well, okay, so what are your tips for getting out of a book slang over.
Book slang over.
New term. I'm going to Urban Dictionary that. I'm going to coin the term. Book hangover / slump. Do you have specific tips of the trade?
Well, look, honestly, according to my research, reading Air Awakens seems to have a pretty good strike rate for me.
You're going very specific with your recommendation. Air Awakens.
But okay, so this is like, I cannot even remember last time I turned on the TV to watch something that I had never watched before. Like, I wake up every day and I'm like, you know what is a good day for? To watch Teen Wolf. Mm-hmm. So I usually just have a TV show going in the background. You know what else I like to do? Turn everything off. I don't listen to music. I don't watch TV. And I like to be alone with my own thoughts. And I tell you that that's the quickest fucking way to pick up a book. Mm. Being faced with myself, where's the Kindle? Somebody give me a paperback. Like, I will blow a man. I won't blow a man. for anything. I'll read a newspaper. Do you know what I mean? So really sitting down with yourself, thinking about your problems, that's the best way to get over a book hangover, because you want to get straight into another book after that.
So your suggestions are to either put on the television or turn it off.
Yes. Which one? Whatever one's not working. Do you know what I mean?
Try one, then go for the other. But I agree. There's something like when you have the TV on in the background and it's like a favorite show, I feel like it just takes the pressure off the book.
Yeah.
It's like I can kind of flip between the two. I don't need to be heavily invested in the book right away. It's just like I can just casually read, which I feel like is different than like dedicated reading.
Yes.
So I can definitely, I always have the TV on in the background. So right now I'm rewatching Arrested Development on Netflix. Oh,
fabulous. Am I a bit of a Lindsay, do you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And Lucille somehow. And a little bit Buster.
I'm always a little bit Alexis if we go over to
a little bit Alexis. Yeah. But no, I think those are good. I mean, good tips. Yeah. I never want to read a book more than when I'm laying there trying to fall asleep and just have like my thoughts ricocheting around in my head.
Yeah. Or getting an idea for like a YouTube video or a reel or something. Or reread an old favorite. That's honestly like just skim, go back and check out your favorite sex scenes. That's always good. And you're like, wow, I want to think about other imaginary people fucking. And I want to be watching that, like, the weird little voyeur that I am.
Yeah, that was one of mine. I tend to always go back and reread an old favorite. That's not working for me right now, though, because I have overdone it on the rereading my favorite books. I think I read Soul Eater by Lily Maine 4 to 6 times last year. Unhinged by Only James is another favorite of mine. I reread that 3 or 4 times last year. I took advantage of them when I didn't need them. And now they're not there for me when I do. It's not working. I think someone suggested that I go back and reread like an old Nora Roberts. Like go way back in time. It's been a while. Like I was thinking maybe the McGregor series by Nora Roberts, which is like a matchmaking series where like the grandpa's always matchmaking for his kids and grandkids. And they always hate the person he pairs them up with. And then it turns out. So it's like every book is like an enemies to lovers. He's like, hey, you know that guy you hate? I have concocted a whole scheme in which you will only see them for like 2 weeks and you will fall in love with them. And this bitch is never wrong. Never wrong.
Grandfather reminds me of the grandfather from Knives Out.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, even when I was reading it as a kid, like when I was like 13, 14 reading these, I was like, fuck this asshole. How dare he? I was like, if my grandpa paired me up with like the worst human being I'd ever spoken with, I would disinherit him.
Yeah.
I'm not falling in love with this dick. No, grandpa. Smoke your cigars and leave me the fuck alone. Stay out of my love life. Like, it's also a little bit weird when you think like this grandpa's just setting them all up. Like, he knows they're banging. He's just like setting up like a big fuck fest in his whole family. Still really good though. I mean, just like a classic, you know?
Classic. Well, I can't help you. Maybe read Air Awakens. No, don't read that. You won't like that.
No, I don't think I would.
I just really want to help you because I've started reading stuff because of you. So now I'm like stressed out. Everyone should be reading.
I'm thinking I might read an actual book. Like, yes. Okay, that sounded weird. But I read mostly on my Kindle app on my phone. And I'm thinking that I might try. I've gotten so many amazing books from Berkeley, and I don't necessarily read them because I'm like, I'm always in the middle of something, and then that leads to another. It's always like, I just finished a monster romance. It was so good. And guess what? The author has 15 more, so I'm just going to read those. And yeah. Now might be the perfect time to pick up one of these books that's a little bit lower heat, but makes up for it in just like, I don't know, a really cute illustrated cover. I don't know.
Perfect. Let me pick it. You have to do 5 and I'll pick which one it is. You don't have to do it right now, but you'll be able to show everyone when I pick it.
I'd have to get up. Honestly, we should do that. I'll like let you vote on which book I should read next. I got some really good ones in the last month's haul. So, although I did get the new Ice Planet Barbarian book.
Yes.
In the
pre-order.
In the box. I think it's Tiffany's book. Where everybody's doing like a Survivor-esque challenge to win her hand, and Ahako gives her a like carved replica of his penis because Liz told him to, right?
No, Ahako's already wifed up in this one. It's Hayden, isn't it?
No.
Ahako is with Kira.
Maybe it is Kira. Maybe I'm mixing up the characters.
No. So that's the... it's Barbarian Mine, and then the one with Josie is the one after.
Let's see. I'm gonna look it up. Berkeley. I'm on my computer. If you can hear me tap-tapping, I need to know.
I'll just sing you guys a song.
Here's the reason I don't remember anything. I read 25 Ice Planet Barbarian books while I was breastfeeding.
Okay, but tell them in the space that you read the 25 books.
In like 3 weeks.
It wasn't 3 weeks. It was like a week. She's lying to make herself look...
Okay, it is insane. Tiffany's book, so I have the guy wrong.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say who the guy is in the description. Berkeley. No, I'm just kidding.
I never
Berkeley.
Forget Ihako, okay? Because
It is Ihako and Tiffany.
Ihako
and Kira. Kira. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. What were we talking about just then? I read all of the Ice Planet Barbarian books at like 3 a.m. Like I would wake up. Oh, she's married to Saluk.
Saluk.
That's who it is. I would wake up in the middle of the night and it'd be like 1 a.m. I would go breastfeed my child for 30 minutes. You can't fall asleep while you're breastfeeding. So I would just read an Ice Planet Barbarian book. I read probably one book and then I would read it every time I breastfed. I was breastfeeding every like 2-3 hours. You know, just like flitting through these books, getting no sleep, retaining no information. Zero. Zilch. Like, it was just in one eye, out the other eye, basically.
Do you feel like it was a Pavlovian response? Like, you would breastfeed, you'd have the downflow, and then you'd be like, oh, need an IPB book. You know what I mean? Like,
basically,
it was like, you hear the bell, you'd be like, oh, baby needs to be fed. Oh, need my blue dick. Oh.
You know, they were like perfect books to read though. Like honestly, if you are breastfeeding, if anyone is out there breastfeeding listening to this, they were perfect books because I was able to put them, like they weren't so complicated that I had trouble getting into them. Like, you know, every time you pick up like a book with deep world building, it's like, okay, it takes me a few minutes to get back in. With these, it was like, no, I needed something that was going to catch my attention immediately. So I didn't fall asleep on my infant son. So I'd be like, great. But then the problem was they were so good that then I would put him to bed and I would go lay in my bed and continue reading. And I was like, bitch, go the fuck to sleep. You're going to be up in like 1 hour and 45 minutes. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me is Ice Planet Barbarians. That's what's wrong with me. But yeah, I retained no information. And I can't even necessarily blame that on Ice Planet Barbarians and breastfeeding exclusively because I retain almost no information from any of my books. That's just like, that's not how I read. I'm not somebody who's reading to learn or to like remember. I'm reading for fun. And that's why I read books so quickly. Cause it's just like, I'm not struggling to remember someone's eye color or their hair color or their name.
Your name, their general plot. Who is this?
People are always like, oh my God, you have so many good recs. I'm like, I recommend the same like 50 books. Like that's how I remember that because I'll go back to my Goodreads, look at my list, recommend, and like bring them back to you. So I'm like, this is not just information that is retained in my brain. It's information that is retained in my trusty Goodreads with my 84 shelves that are very specific. One's just called glasses.
Yeah.
The character has glasses.
I was asked for a book rec by a friend who has a kid in my kid's class. And she was like, oh, well, she, she goes, bless her. She says, oh, well, I really want to get back into reading fiction because all I do is read for my job. What would you recommend? I'm like, have you heard of any of the books that I've read? And she's like, oh, you know, like, I'm like, do you want something with romance, right? I'm like, have you read a romance novel before? She says, oh, no, not really. So I was like, Emily Henry straight away. I was like, I'll lend you Beach Read. You'll love it.
Honestly, she probably will. That exactly. was a solid rec.
Yeah.
That was fucking like, solid.
Yeah. Just pluck that one out of the air. I actually bought that book for my mother-in-law.
Safe read.
Exactly. And then I also got her The Love Hypothesis, and she was like, ooh, that was a pretty racy book. And I was like, don't read anything else I lend you.
Yeah. You're like, there was one sex scene at the end. So
it's fine. Yeah. She loved it. Yeah. Good for her.
Hmm. Well, I feel like you'd be pretty. I do have the Loathe to Love You novella compilation by Allie Hazelwood sitting on my TBR over there. I can see it. So I'm like, maybe I'll do that because it's like three novellas, which is another one of my tips, which is read novellas. Find like a 50-page book and just read the fuck out of that. And that, like, that's where Jessica King comes in. Take a drink.
Yeah.
That's why I read like 16 of her books in a row like 5 months ago. I read one and I was just like, they're just like, I feel so accomplished, which boosts my self-esteem.
Yep.
And makes me feel better. And then I'm, I don't know, more inclined to enjoy a book when I'm feeling good. Exactly. I know a lot of people like read books when they're down and sad and it helps them, but I find I read best when I'm already happy.
You're then such I'm just a good enjoying girl. Everything.
Oh, thank you. Don't turn me on.
every time and my other recommendation, a short episode.
I only have one other tip, which is to read straight smut. Fuck the world building, fuck plot, fuck character development. Pick up like the smuttiest smut, a monster smut. I think the further I can disassociate from contemporary problems, the better for me when it comes to getting over a book hangover or getting out of a book slump. Because it's just like, part of it is like, I feel very weighed down by my own choices and by my own stresses. And it's making it hard for me to enjoy a book. So if I'm just like, I'm going to delve into just like some woman whose only problem is that like the monster's cock is like slightly too big for her orifice. That's the world I want.
Exactly. And you know what? The problem's usually going to be solved with just a little bit of patience. Yeah. A little bit of priming.
Yeah. You know? Lube.
And if we can get that done in 80 pages and then you can read the 80 pages, you're going to feel better for it.
Yeah.
And if you're out there and you're listening to this and you are going through a reading slump, I promise you will get out of it. You know, maybe you have just gone back on your Prozac like me and look at where I am now on a podcast talking about monster dicks.
Look at the progress you've made.
Looks like we've made it. I always sing that song, the Shania Twain one, to my husband. He's like, shut the fuck up, Mikhail. I'm like, look how far we've come, my baby. I cannot carry a note in a bag, but does it stop me from singing? Absolutely fucking not. Not in public, not on podcasts, nothing. Okay, so go out there and get slutty and smutty and get out of that slump.
And read whatever the fuck you want, as long as it is a novella, a straight smut book, or an old fave.
Yes.
Trust us. The end. And please join us next week for a really awesome episode in which I will be interviewing audiobook narrator Connor Crace. If you are not familiar with his name, he has narrated books for authors such as Serena Aykroyd, Megan Quinn, Carly Phillips, A.L. Jackson, and so many others. He's also an author of romance novels himself. So he's a jack of all trades, or two trades specifically. I actually did a reel with his voice a couple weeks back that got really popular and people were fawning over his voice. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to shoot my shot and ask if he wants to be on the podcast because I have been dying to interview an audiobook narrator. I have so many fucking questions about the process and whether it's awkward to pretend you are fucking someone who is not there. I have a lot of things I need to ask. So I am so grateful to him for coming on. I cannot wait to record that episode because I will have him speaking directly at me for 30-ish minutes, which is like a dream come true. I do feel bad for you guys that you're going to have to go between his angelic, deep, sexy voice and whatever I have going on. So my apologies for that. It's going to be very jarring to your ears to go back and forth. But stay tuned.